Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle.
Welcome to another episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch. Here today with my spectacular co-host, we've got the one and only Sublime Manic.
Hello. As far as I'm concerned, let me tell you. So we're recording this on what most people would call 11th, the 4th of November. Yes. As far as I'm concerned, it's just October 35th.
I don't know. Like, I'm very close to putting up some Christmas lights. I actually have a story for this.
I'll tell you as well. But like, November is the worst month. Like, we should give half of it to October and half of it to December.
Oh, actually, I disagree. I have another theory. But we also have Seth Vilo, the Lord of the Land.
Yeah.
Yes.
But hopefully your feelings about November are okay.
My feelings about November are shockingly neutral.
Wow.
Hooray.
Okay. All right.
I am ready to have a pumpkin spice peppermint latte. I'm very confused.
Welcome to the Puckle Podcast, though, where we talk everything Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. I am very happy to be here. Thankfully, okay. I'm done with traveling for a very long time.
Thank goodness.
Good for you.
Freaking man. Everywhere. Gosh.
I know. Dude, it's actually awful. It's actually really... The number of places I've been this year, like... I don't know. A year ago, I thought to myself, if you would have told me a year ago, like, oh, you're going to travel this much next year, I would have been like, that sounds sweet. and like, right now, I'm just like, I just want to sleep in my bed.
Yeah.
I just want to sleep in my bed. I'm really tired, guys.
I'm sick of this. Oh, the places you'll go. I didn't mean it like that when they read it at my graduation. Yeah, gosh,
right. Oh my gosh.
It's not even that. Like, wait, the amount I've been traveling for work makes it so that, like, I don't want to travel for vacation.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Oh, I hate that. Airplanes suck.
I've just gotten to the point where, like, I've broken on airplanes. Like, I used to never be able to sleep on a plane. I used to never be able to sleep on a plane. Now I just fall asleep on them magically.
Yep.
The number of times a stewardess or flight attendant have like pushed me back into my seat this year is so high because I'll like fall asleep into the aisle.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Yeah. That's a new level.
Yeah.
You gotta get those pillow things that keep you in place.
So I couldn't do the old neck pillows. I did. This is like.
Try a turtle. Turtle.
So I bought a turtle.
Is that thing that's
it's
like,
a type of neck pillow.
It's a neck pillow. You're a side sleeper, it is the best neck pillow.
For airplanes. Yeah,
For airplanes. Okay. I bought one
right now.
I bought one for my flight to Japan in like a month ago now, I guess. And it was certainly helpful, but like it doesn't really matter anymore. I'm just broken on airplanes now. Like, I can just do whatever on an airplane. I have no social awareness. I just sleep when I want and do things.
Googled turtle pillow and I got a bunch of like Halloween decorations.
I mean, you're never going to see those people again, so who cares?
Yeah, well, if you like think about...
Right?
The places I've been this year, though, are like insane. Like, I've been to San Antonio, Seoul, South Korea.
One of those is much more interesting than the other.
Yeah. Yes. San Antonio is actually pretty cool. I actually really like it.
And having lived there, loses the excitement once you've lived there.
That's fair. That's fair. I mean,
visit it soon.
As a tourist, it's actually pretty fun.
The Riverwalk's cute.
The Riverwalk is cute.
I enjoy it.
Yeah. I don't know that I would live there, but like, it's very cool. And then I went to, thankfully I had a break after South Korea, but the first two were like back to back. And then the one after that, I went to Santa Barbara, California. Then I went to Buffalo, New York. That one was the worst of them all, I think, was the Buffalo, New York one. Though I did have the original, I had the original Buffalo wings. So that was cool.
The original Buffalo wing. Okay, there you go.
Yeah. So that was actually pretty fun.
That's the weirdest pillow I've ever seen.
Yeah, that pillow is pretty cool. And then I went to, Madison, Wisconsin. Actually, that was the worst one. Madison, Wisconsin. Actually, the downtown Madison, Wisconsin is kind of a blast. Like, the bars are pretty fun. And then from there, I went to Japan, which was a good time. Mm-hmm. That was actually very relaxing. And then I went this week, I went to Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Yeesh.
Yeah. Oh, tell me about it. That doesn't include also, like, my trip back home to Seattle to see my in-laws.
Terrible traffic.
Yeah. D.C., I don't know how you get around. Like, D.C., my favorite part about it is the metro, because you can get most places that you need to go just on the metro train. So that's what I did when I was there.
I love that about the East Coast. I feel like they have generally really good.
They have decent transport. Yeah, they have decent public transit. It's also pretty cheap, actually. I was actually very surprised. I never travel at like peak hours, but it's like $2.50 to take the DC Metro like anywhere off peak hours.
Hmm, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, it's actually pretty reasonable. But yeah, we're here for a Pokemon podcast, not for Thatcher's travel adventures.
Welcome to Pokemon Underground. Travel.
You know what? Maybe we're speculating where the next world will be.
Yeah.
Totally. We brought it home.
It's gonna be
in Seoul. That'd be cool.
Madison, Wisconsin. Oh, yeah. Seoul. Yeah.
Atlanta, Georgia.
I mean, it's gonna be pretty close to Atlanta, Georgia, and New Orleans. Like, that's not too bad.
For NAIC,
that's not bad.
I'm considering taking an Amtrak to that just because I want to ride a train.
Dude,
I love trains.
Has anybody ever
trains
wanted
to? Cool.
Okay, so like I've totally just wanted to take the Amtrak train for a vacation.
Yeah.
Like from Chicago to somewhere else. Like I don't care where that is.
As far as I can. Like on the coast, down the coast.
Because I legitimately thought I like planned a trip that I thought would be awesome of taking the Amtrak from, you can go from like Chicago to, I'm going to put San Francisco in quotes.
I'm not asking for there to be a murder, but if there is a murder, I'm not going to be mad about it.
Murder on the Amtrak Express.
I'm kind of excited at the idea because like you lose cell phone reception.
Yeah.
And you get cut off from the world during a lot of it.
I just love looking outside of a train.
I know. And you get to see a bunch of cool stuff and the dining is like pretty decent.
Yeah, surprisingly.
And I'm like, you could go to San Francisco and then you could take the other train that goes up the coast, the West Coast.
Yeah. That's the one I want to do.
You can take it to Seattle and then you can take the one from Seattle to back to Chicago.
I tell you what, I've never slept better than when I was on the train in Italy, just going from one of our places to another for several hours.
Yeah.
Holy moly, something about trains.
Yeah, we'll play Ticket to Ride and just pick a route.
Everyone, fly
to Atlanta. We'll take the track to New Orleans together. It'll be great.
I legitimately have thought about just doing a lot of stuff like that. Like that sounds like a fun vacation to me. Just getting on the train for like 10 days, getting cut off from the world, and just hanging out. You bring some board games, bring some books, and you just have a good time.
Make a model train on the train. That'd be fun.
I just like the idea of just being in a situation where you're cut off from the world for so long.
Trains are
right.
Really, I really romanticize trains in a way that makes no sense.
No. I get so caught up on those YouTubers that like show you the video, like this is the video of like, here's my trip taking the train for 3 days. And I'm just like, I'm like, man, I kind of want to do this.
I want this so much.
I really want to go, like, I want to do, what is it called? It's like the Emerald something. It's whichever one goes from Chicago to Seattle. I want to do that one like in the winter because you get to see like North Dakota and South Dakota in the winter. And I love seeing like the plains in the winter is beautiful. And you get to see like the snow in the mountains and stuff like that. And then additionally, there's the, I also like kind of the idea of like feeling warm and cozy on the train as like we're going, you know?
Go get some hot cocoa.
Yeah. And then I want to do, I would love to go up and down the coast. And I'm sure if I did that during the winter, it wouldn't matter. So the West Coast. And the other one that's really cool is apparently the one to San Francisco because you go through the Rocky Mountains at one point. And that's apparently like some of the most beautiful like 6 hours of the trip. Mm-hmm. And if it's snowing, it's even better. So this is a trip I have thought about doing.
And we are a podcast about trains.
Trains.
Yeah.
I love trains. I mean, I feel like I feel like the type of person who is a Pokemon fan nowadays, there's a very good chance that they were a train kid.
Also a train kid. Yes.
They were a train kid.
For a while, I was.
How many of us watched Thomas the Tank Engine?
Yeah. Yep.
Knew all their
that
names.
That was my childhood.
Oh.
Yep. Yep. I relate very much.
Wasn't there a Cask of Amontillado episode?
And even if they were born after that, they probably played with Thomas the Train Engine in Skyrim or something, so.
Well, Thomas is...
Oh, yeah!
Thomas, like, only recently, like, I'm gonna put canceled in quotes. They did start, like, a new thing, like, Thomas the Tank Engine Goers. I looked into this recently because I was curious.
You can catch Thomas the Tank Engines in your area.
Well, YouTube started feeding me, like, Thomas the Tank Engine lore one day.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I got really into it, guys, okay?
Heck yeah.
I got really into it.
I love the intro section. We just go all over the place.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with Pokemon, but...
No.
I mean, we're going to talk a lot about Pokemon today,
I mean, so. There's battle conductors, yeah. So, like, it's not
Hey-o.
Related.
There are battle conductors. Ingo and, what's his brother's name?
Emmett,
that's right. That's right. Yeah, they're
Why
both
did
great.
I know that?
That's fine. That's fine. But yeah, I think I'm going to cut us off from going too crazy. We didn't even talk about November.
We didn't, because it's the worst month.
Okay, so I have a proposal. Because you know how January sucks? And it's so cold outside, and it's the worst month? Okay, but you know how you can make January better? You could have Christmas in January.
Okay, so here's our new proposal. Let's give November to October and January to December.
Okay, 13 months, 28 days each, we're gonna change the world.
No, my proposal was just 1 year we have an extra November.
It's called November for a reason, is how I see it.
Leap month.
This is an extra, it's a leap month that we only do once ever. But from a U.S. perspective, it's very great, because then we get two Thanksgivings.
I hate Thanksgiving, too much cooking and eating. And then you have to see people you don't care about.
It's that's the... That's the thing.
I'm the wrong person to hype up Thanksgiving, I think.
Yeah, I've ironically, despite the fact that I drink 90% of my food, I am so hyped for Thanksgiving because, gosh dang it, even though I drink most of it, when I cook something, it's going to be good. So
yes. What I used to do before my wife got her new job, because she would usually work the day after Thanksgiving so we wouldn't go travel or anything.
Mm-hmm.
What we did is there's a barbecue chain in Ohio called City Barbecue, and it's pretty good barbecue. I would recommend. And I would go to City Barbecue, and on Thanksgiving they let you pre-order smoked turkeys from them.
Mm.
And so we would just go buy smoked turkey from them, and they'll sell you all of the sides.
Wow.
So it was actually, those were my favorite Thanksgivings.
Yeah, the next time I have to take something to Thanksgiving, I'm just buying it.
Yeah, 100% recommend City Barbecue in Ohio.
I made a green bean casserole once. It took me 2 hours. It wasn't even that, like, good, because it was my first time making it. I'm like, never again.
So I found the trick to green bean casserole. This is a cooking podcast now.
Yeah, it's an everything except Pokemon.
Well, there's lots of food Pokemon, too, so it still works.
Yes.
Yeah. Smoliv. Anyway, go on.
I was at home for Thanksgiving 1 year, and I like green bean casserole. I'm one of those people.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. And so I went to try to start making it, and we found it. We were at my grandmother's house on the farm. We found like an old can of like cream of mushroom soup or something, you know, from probably the 90s or the 80s. And it had the recipe for it, which is completely different than the recipes that they put on the back now. And it called for soy sauce.
5 pounds of lard.
It called for soy sauce.
Okay.
And when we did that, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Would recommend.
That just extra layer of complexity. I'm the maniac who adds a tablespoon of unsweetened cocoa powder to my chili.
Yeah. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to make this a running theme now this month. Every episode of the Puckle Podcast up until Thanksgiving, we're going to give you one cooking tip.
One recipe. That's two for this episode.
Yeah, there we go.
Actually, cocoa powder and chili sounds good. I get it. I'm done with that.
Yeah. It adds just enough, and with the pot size that I make, one half to one tablespoon or so is just enough.
Well,
really good.
I'm going to cut us off here so that we talk about Pokemon today. But there is some news in the Pokemon world. So let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower. This just in.
Welcome to the news. In the news, we've got a few things to talk about. First of all, Pokemon got bored and just announced out of nowhere that the DLC releases December 14th. And no news to go along with that other than the date, which is actually really strange for Pokemon, in all things considered.
Like, I'd expect, like, one other trailer or something.
I feel like they tried to include both updates in the trailer, though, right? So, like, that's probably what they were thinking.
Yeah, they usually, they have been talking more about Indigo Disc in every trailer, which I found kind of odd that there wasn't just, like, here's a Teal Mask trailer. Granted, after playing Teal Mask, I kind of understand, because they definitely mean these to be one big story instead of two separate things like the Crown Tundra and Isle of Armor were. I assume there's a trailer that they have planned, but it's just not until they don't want to release until, you know, later in November.
Just in time for Christmas.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, so what happened is yesterday, November 3rd, yesterday as of recording the podcast, they released the like complete edition of Pokemon Scarlet and Violet where the DLC is included when you purchase.
Yeah.
Because they have that for the holiday season, and I mean, I called this that they were going to at least give us a date by then, because it's actually very important that they do give you that date, because of because you can't like sell that game and be like, well, this DLC might come out one day.
Exactly. They've got to have a timeline.
Yeah. So they needed the timeline. So I'm very unsurprised that they gave us a date. I'm just surprised at how they gave us the date, because it usually comes with like some information. So yeah, moving on. It's not me. It's Sublime.
Yeah. So we got a 7-star Hisuian Typhlosion raids again next week. And its hobbies include burning a big Pokemon and enjoying the sun. but thankfully it doesn't set up in it. You can only get one. Don't forget. Mm-hmm. So get into it. Oh, yeah, it's Hisuian. And it's a fire type, I believe so.
I love that we're a year in and we're still getting these 7-star
raids.
Yeah. I actually very much appreciate
that. Play one.
It's such a cool thing. I just wish they come and go way too quickly. I wish instead of it being over a weekend, it was over a week.
Yeah, agreed.
That's my only, like, because I have things I do on the weekends.
Yeah, sorry, I live a very full social life.
mostly to remind me when I open the game on like a Monday that, hey, this is happening, and be like,
you
I've got a day to like make this go I can make a Pokemon for it and then go do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have that than a weekend.
I've missed it's a fine. Couple of them.
Yeah.
More than a couple.
But yeah, there's some Smogon news, I think, from Seth.
Yeah. Some general tiering type news. First of all, in OU, the suspect testing for Roaring Moon concluded over this cycle. And that sucker is gone. No more Roaring Moon in OU, which is deserved.
I'm shocked.
That thing, whew. Knockoff really propelled it to another whole new level where it was just not really workaroundable.
Making Knockoff a TM again, I don't know, was the right decision. But
right? Crazy. And the next thing is that they have started up a new suspect test already for our good friend Gliscor, because the next target on the radar is how obscenely crazy the Hazard world is and how incredibly restrictive it is to team building. They're starting with Gliscor first because it had more of a score in the community survey, and next is probably going to be Golden Go. So,
yep. I could see that.
Because both of them together really are the signature of Hazards, because, you know, Golden Go prevents Defog from landing, so that makes any Defog user unviable, and the only reason that, like, Spin exists is because it's on something that can kind of rally
so
back.
So it prevents, it's like the ultimate, like, Hazard removal.
Yeah.
Or Spin blocker, I guess. It's like the ultimate.
It is. It really is. So.
Yeah,
that's part of the reason Great Tusk is so good, is because it's a spinner that can hit Golden Go. So,
yep.
So that's the tiering so far for, and we're really just kind of focusing on OU. There's other stuff I'm sure that's going on, especially with all the tier shifts that happened at the beginning of this month. There's some crazy ones, like Heatran left UU, for instance, which
left
that's
UU
a weird sentence.
For NU or
came back to OU.
Okay. I was just like, I'm like, which direction
I can't
did it
see
lead?
Going to RU? Like, No.
And Landorus Therian barely by minuscule amounts of points remains OU. Can you believe that? Like that's about to be UU.
I can believe it. There's been like some serious power creep this gen.
And it's not only just power creep stat wise, it's like strategic creep. Because, I mean, Golden Go's powerful.
They've been very intentional about new Pokemon they've added. They've been very intentional. Yeah.
They are zeroed in on what their role is, and it's like, real cool.
Like, the one that showed me that they are paying attention to competitive was Urshifu. Like, if you look at Urshifu's base stats, it is designed for competitive.
Yes.
Because they made its speed just shy of hitting Xerneas and Yveltal.
Yep.
But they gave it like that cool ability to break through protect. Like it, they were thinking.
Yes, they were.
And I think they still do that. So, but yeah, that's competitive Pokemon. We're going to skip on over to Pokemon Go. And I gave all of this to Sublime.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I mean, Pokemon Go is still a good time. It's fun.
Yeah, it's still a game. People still play it. I still get ads for it. And I'm like, can you stop getting the ads for this? But that's okay. So November 11th is going to be introducing Mega Garchomp during a raid that's going to run from 2 to 5. And raid day. Raid day. You know. The more than just the one raid. And then the Festival of Lights will run from the 7th through the 12th and adds Tadbolt to the game. And also...
Wow.
Shiny Morolo.
They're adding like so many Gen 9 Pokemon and Gen 8 starters to learn in the game. I love it.
It's so
I do
funny
as well. Not even gonna lie. Not a fan of the Gen 8 starters, so I'm okay.
Yeah, I think we're all okay. Like Fuecoco is better than Scorbunny.
Oh,
like,
they're all better than
I said it. Quaxley's better than Sobble. Sprigatito's better than Grookey.
Yeah.
Done. Like they're all just you can fight me.
No, it's true. No one wants monotype starters.
No, this is 2023.
A whole generation of them? Like, come on now.
In 2019.
Meanwhile, my favorite Pokemon is Snivy. Still.
Okay. But that was like, those were well designed, you know, to some extent. Like, those were different. I feel like.
It's not humanoid, for one thing. It's less humanoid.
Right?
So, like,
it's not a Sonic
well
OC.
Appreciated these days.
It's not just like, it's just not like, a humanoid standing on two legs that you can high five before you go to the Elite Four, you know?
Yeah.
If that's what I'm going to get, it better be a dual type. It better be cool.
Yep.
Seth, I gave you all this TCG news because I know Paradox Rift came out yesterday. I still haven't bought a booster box. I need to go.
I'm hyped. I've wasted so much money, but gosh dang it, were my pulls worth it? Holy macaroni. Paradox Rift, the next set, is officially out everywhere as of Friday the 3rd. So you can go pick those up, and they're in TCG Live as well. And the decks that you get for playing in TCG Live feature Roaring Moon and Golden Go EX.
One of those is good.
Yeah.
Both of them, honestly, are not bad. People just need to break Golden Go. There's a lot of more work that needs to go for Golden Go than Moon.
I think Golden Go
is so fun.
I feel like it's just like a piece. Sets. It's just a piece or something it needs.
It's something. And being able to be the attacker and draw support all in one slot is so unique and handy. But Judge Path.
We never had that before. Like Calyrex Shadow Rider.
I know, right? but it's such a good potential. People just need to figure it out. And it's, you know, the set is a day old. And even Japan kind of got the new stuff only very recently.
They got the Paradox. They got like the Paradox Pokemon very recently. Like that portion of the set. They got that just... Last week.
So it's not like we can lean on Japanese lists that have been playing these cards for months. We're all also
gonna have to innovate
working at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's real interesting and refreshing.
This was like Obsidian Flames.
Yeah, it seems to be the new way they're going, where there's almost simultaneous release at some level.
There kind of is. It's just that the way we make our sets and the way Japan makes their sets is way different.
They make three small ones and we make
one big one. So we usually wait until all three of theirs come out and then we drop the one big one.
Exactly. But I mean, they were getting the final cards. Like they were opening packs and didn't know what was in them.
Yeah.
That's wild to me. That's the TCG stuff. We're all figuring it out and I am very, very hyped because now I can start prepping for San Antonio, and gosh, Roaring Moon is refreshing. I don't have to think. I don't have to do mental math. It's just, and you're knocked out.
I do kind of like this set just because it changes things. Like Lost Box was cool. I really appreciate single prizer decks. I think cheap decks are great, but
yeah,
I don't know. I also came from like the, you know, 2016 Pokemon TCG thinking cheap decks are great.
Yep.
And I think every deck now is cheaper than a good deck in 2016.
Some decks are cheaper than your Skyman.
The Shaman EX is no longer $50 a card. Like I think the most you pay now is like Charizard EX, and then you're only really paying for the Charizard EX in that deck.
And if you wanted to like max rarity it, like that makes a whole new level.
Yeah,
I've been watching the prices on TCG Player just drop.
I always wait until Monday after a new set.
That's what I'm going to do. Yeah.
Because the prices will just tank.
Yep.
Over the weekend. The only one that didn't do it for was Charizard.
Yeah. But that's because of the Charizard.
That's because it's Charizard.
So, yeah. As y'all are listening to the podcast, I'll be filling my TCG cart. Woo. But anyway, yeah. The other TCG news, speaking of which, is an interesting one, an interesting discrepancy. Japan, pardon me, Japan has banned the item Scoop Up Net in their expanded format, but we in the West did not. Our ban list and stuff has gone by and been refreshed, and there were no changes to our expanded ban list. And I know all you were sitting at home wondering, what is expanded? And we don't know either. So,
do you want me to tell you why they didn't update our expanded deck list?
Go for it.
Do you want me to tell you why?
Because
you probably know my answer, but
go ahead.
Because it's a format that doesn't exist anymore. So why are we updating a rule set for a thing that's never going to be used for tournaments?
Yeah. I don't think that we're going to get anything formal for expanded until it's implemented in live. So
I don't think that's going to happen. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. I don't know, but yeah. So that's the update for that. It's just interesting that it happened in one group and not another.
Yeah,
that's odd.
If they would refresh expanded to be like either X and Y on or Sun and Moon on, I could see it. I do see a world in which we refresh expanded as Scarlet and Violet on in a few years.
Yee. Yikes.
Just because like that's when we changed to the silver borders of these other rulings.
That's gonna be several years from now.
Yeah. No, I'm talking, you know, the beginning of whatever Gen 10 is, right? They go, hey, expanded's back.
Like 11.
But
that's a lot. But that's where we're at with expanded right now. It's still the same, you know, XY on or black, white on. But
I think that's just too long. I'm gonna be honest with you.
It's too much.
We're not like Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Magic that reprint some staple cards from back then either.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Which makes it way worse.
But we are like Yu-Gi-Oh! Now all of a sudden with Japan having one ban list and us having another. That's weird now.
Kind of.
Anyway.
All right, well, let's move on to Puckle's Pokey opinion. And this week the question is, best shoot Gen 2 shiny? Question mark? And I think the answer is Umbreon. And
I think
the answer is Umbreon. I think the answer, my answer is at least Umbreon. I think that's the best.
That is a good one.
Like that's one of the best, if not the best.
I can't pull many out of my head.
I had to look them up last week because we had best Gen 1 shiny last week.
Umbreon's a really good one.
Which one? Umbreon.
Umbreon. Yeah, I agree. Umbreon.
I feel like Umbreon's really hard to beat. Like Umbreon
and
is.
Espeon's is so bad. It's
green
shade.
Baby.
It's like, oh, they gave Umbreon such a beautiful blue, and then Espeon's just that lime green.
I can't think of a Gen 2 Pokemon that looks better with the shiny because like all the starters are like meh. Like we can make an argument for like the Chikorita line because they kind of get fall colors when they go shiny.
Yeah, that's fair.
But like Cyndaquil's, bleh.
I kind of like Ho-Oh, bleh. But it's just different.
Yeah. I think Umbreon like almost is objectively the winner.
That's probably true. I stand
objectively
by that.
The winner. All right. Well, that was easy.
Woo.
So we're going to kick it on over now, guys, to our Poke Quiz. We're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time, If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an eighth point.
Welcome to trivia. Thank you for that introduction. We're going to jump right into it. Our first question this week is going to come to you guys from Smeargle19 on the Discord server. The question is, what generation has the most time between main series games?
Okay, so question with that. Are you saying within that single generation?
Within that single generation. Or between that single generation, okay. Yeah.
So, for example, the distance between Ruby and Sapphire and then Fire Red Leaf Green.
Diamond.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to make sure I was understanding that correctly.
Got it.
Yes.
Oof.
And it's probably time between single.
To be fair, that gives you five choices, right? So you have a 20% chance if you just guess.
Yeah. Okay, so that gets rid of anything that gets rid of 8 and 9 because those both had just DLCs. Because we're not counting PLA as a mainline game, I assume.
And 1 didn't really have a lot of time.
Yellow.
There were red, blue, yellow. You also forgot BDSP existed, though.
We don't talk about her.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget BDSP existed.
Is that a mainline game?
Generation.
Is it?
It's not a spinoff. It's a mainline game, technically. Yes.
Is it, though?
And Legends Arceus is a spinoff game. Yep.
See, this feels wrong.
Not a mainline. Never mind. No, Legends Arceus is mainline as well. Okay. They're both mainline.
Okay.
They're both mainline.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. So I think.
Yeah, within 70 days.
Whoops. I feel like it's something in Gen 4, possibly Platinum to Heart Gold.
Oh, it would have been DPP, Diamond Pearl Platinum to Heart Gold Soul Silver. Because
there was a large chunk of time in
between. Yeah, the only one I'm also considering is maybe in Gen 6? Wait. Okay. There was no...
Oras?
Yeah, Oras.
Ooh.
Yeah.
XY to Oras.
The golden years. My favorite era of Pokemon.
I feel like that's more likely than Platinum to Heart Gold.
And then...
Yeah.
I feel like Black 2, White 2 was just the next year.
Yeah.
Same with...
Yeah, I don't think that really had much.
Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. So I don't think it's 7 or 5. I would hope not.
Yeah.
3 has a lot of games
so we're
because
looking at-
you had Emerald and Fire Red. So I don't know if the dates for that between any two of those games is particularly large, especially because that's so long ago.
Right? Yeah. Time is skewed up. I kind of like XY to Auras. I feel like that's
I feel like we reduced it to 3
there was a long drought.
So maybe, yeah.
I know there's been memes of the news drought that happened in XY, and XY to Auras is we were waiting for Z, nothing happened. The anniversary thing occurred, nothing happened. It was something.
Well, let's go with X.
Something
yeah, let's
else.
Say Gen 6.
Gen 6 is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is Generation 8.
What? Hold up.
There are 735 days between the release of Pokemon Sword and Shield and the release of Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and
Shining
Pearl.
See, I don't count that game, but I guess I should. Yeah. I guess
since it's DLC, we were thrown off.
Yeah.
Because it's okay. Yeah. Okay.
I guess.
Yeah.
Fair
sure.
enough. Yeah. I guess we should have incorporated DLC because then that's still part of the main game.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well.
It's fine.
I mean, anyone that played BDSP, I'm sorry.
I liked it. I liked it. I think it is one of the most challenging Pokemon games in terms of traditional Pokemon games.
I haven't finished it.
But, man, Seth,
but
we should,
was it one
we
of
should
the
play
most
it.
Fun?
We should play it together.
Or was it one of the most fun?
It's one of the most faithful remakes.
Wow.
I'm very biased, but I don't want to have that discussion during the trivia segment. All right. I'm going to give you this question from the once and future gamer. Which was the only trainer card to be part of the Jungle Pokemon TCG expansion? There was only one trading card and then trainer card in that entire set.
Oh,
wow.
No. Okay.
What was it? The answer will surprise you.
I believe that.
Maybe. Hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully it doesn't.
Were there any? No, because fossils were their own set, right? So it went.
Yes,
base,
fossil
it
was its own
jungle,
set
of fossils. So I'm like, oh, maybe it was the fossil. Yeah. Like, no, not a fossil thing.
I can tell you now, it's not Switch.
No, that was base.
Or
also
base. Because I use those.
Pokeflute was base?
I think it was. Oh, goodness. That's a hard one.
Yeah. Especially because I just associate those three sets kind of like amalgamated, right?
As one blob. Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious. Jungle. It's not going to be anything like there was no tools.
No,
or anything
trainer cards
like
were just
that
anything
then.
That wasn't energy or Pokemon.
Yeah. Yeah. There was no distinction. I remember because my brother would just drop like three Bill draw two cards.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Quadruple Professor Oak, quadruple Bill. Good times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In one turn.
That's how you play the Game Boy
game.
Yeah.
That is. Yeah.
You get four Professor Oaks.
Yeah,
and
I
just
prefer
go to town.
Play water Blastoise because then you can just energy acceleration too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be Pokeball.
Why wouldn't? Well, maybe. No. Okay.
Why wouldn't it be Pokeball?
I don't know.
Because it's Pokeball. I feel like I've seen it.
What about superior energy retrieval? It was superior. I don't know. That's a hard one.
I don't know. Do we say Pokeball? I feel
I'm not going to disagree. If he said, why wouldn't it be, then that means it is.
He
that's
said
fine.
The answer may surprise you.
Sure.
You know what? Let's just, for the sake of time, and because we're blanking.
Yeah, that's
blanking,
hard.
Pokeball.
Yeah, we'll go with Pokeball, I guess.
Pokeball is correct.
Yay!
What?
That is
what?
Wild.
Yeah, Pokeball,
the only
Pokeball
one,
is in Jungle.
The only one.
Yeah, the only one in Jungle. Like, isn't that crazy?
What was
How
in Jungle?
In base?
I don't, it's all a blur.
Yeah,
it's
nothing?
All such a blur.
The jungle set.
Let me pull up
I don't
the
know.
Jungle
that was
set.
Back when sets were like, yeah, jungle, like early Pokemon was great because we got the Japanese size sets. I do really miss them because they were just so much easier to
complete
to like collect. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Sublime said, I kind of just in my head group jungle fossil
base.
Yeah,
that's just like yeah, the whole
there,
starting
blob.
Of the game, right? And it was amazing.
There was one, and it was literally just Pokeball. That is literally all that was in it. It was a bunch of Pokemon
Crazy.
And Pokeball.
I feel like the jungle art, a lot of it holds up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think a lot of the early Pokemon card art holds up. I think it was before we knew what Pokemon was, so the artist took a lot more liberties.
Yeah.
Like the Sea King card, beautiful. The
Pokemon in environments.
Weaven Bell card, beautiful. The Persian card.
Oh, they're all great.
Yeah. A lot of winners.
They're all great. Yeah, it was
except for
great.
The Vileplume. Pokemon they did that one dirty.
I don't like that. Well, sometimes I do actually. So, like most of the time, I don't like the cards where they just take the Sigamori
and put
and
it
slap
on a
it
background.
On. They're like, that's a
I don't
card.
Like that either.
Yeah, they're like
agree completely.
Yeah, the only one, the only card that I like that's like that is the Heracross from Neo.
Okay,
I like the Heracross.
Remember
that
Team
is
Rocket cards? That was fun.
Yes. Yes,
we are
I do.
Old. Let's move on.
Yes, Sublime. Next time we're together, I got a cube for you. All right. So we're gonna move on then. You guys got one question correct without any help,
none whatsoever.
And,
woo,
no,
not at all.
All right. This question is your Pokédex entry question from G McP. Its Pokémon Sword entry reads: its dorsal, pectoral, and tail fins wave elegantly in water. That is why it's known as the Water Dancer. Who's that Pokemon?
Could you repeat that? Dorsal, pectoral, and what?
Tail fins.
Okay, it's got all sorts
Its dorsal, pectoral, and tail fins wave elegantly in the water. That is why it is known as the Water Dancer.
Is it not Goldeen?
Does Goldeen have that many fins? I feel like Goldeen don't got that many fins.
It's based on a beta fish, basically, and those have dorsal, pectoral, and tail. It certainly has pectoral and tail. Those are the side and the tail. And I'm almost positive it's got a dorsal, which is the top one.
Yeah,
the
those are
fin.
Always called the dancers, right? Or like the pretty ones of the sea.
Is there any other dancing fish?
Lumineon is the less pretty version that glows, but like it's the not original, you know.
It's not, I don't think the fins are flowing as much.
Yeah, because Lumineon is the Butterfree of the sea, right? That's what they call it. So yeah. I feel like, let's go
Butterfly
with Sea King.
Of
this, or not Sea King, Goldeen.
Goldeen, lock in.
All right, Goldeen is correct.
Goldeen. Woo! Goldeen.
You guys got, that's 2 points
Goldeen
for you guys.
Goldeen is honestly
up to 3 for
an icon, and I don't apologize.
Right?
Like, it's really pretty, sorry.
The second entry we had for you guys this week was from Pokemon Moon, and it reads, spellbound by the length of its horn and the beauty of its fins, many strange trainers raise this Pokemon and nothing but this Pokemon.
Wow. That would have made it much harder.
It's got a very, very short dorsal fin, but okay.
Like, I just think of its tail fin as, like, the pretty part.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Your next question is your multiple answer question. You can get up to 3 points here. There are, how many answers here? I'm going to give you this question, and it's going to have 5 answers. I only need 3 of them to get you full credit. 1 point for answer you give me. This is from the egotistical Elekid. At Windon Stadium, there are 6 monitors above the registration decks depicting 5 Pokemon and trainers.
Nope, I'm out.
Who are these 5 Pokemon?
I'm out.
Oh, no. What?
Windon Stadium is in Galar.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You do have the hint. I can give you a hint.
I mean, I guess we can't.
We can't.
These five Pokemon are non-legendaries who would I would personally call mascots of Galar.
Mascots of Galar. Okay.
You could think. I mean, you probably have at least one of these on your team by the time you're at Windon Stadium as well.
So okay. The 3 starters, right?
It wouldn't be Zacian and
no.
I said they're not legendaries.
They're lies. And non-legend, yeah, okay.
If we would probably have one of them, that makes me think it's going to be like the sad, sad starters no one likes.
Meh. I don't think there's going to be like on the screen as logos of Galar, despite like within Galar. I feel like one might be Stonjourner.
I'm gonna tell you you're going down the wrong path, Seth.
That's a version exclusive too, so I don't think they would do that.
Don't think too hard.
Let's start with Cinderace.
You only need 3
Let's test it with Cinderace.
Cinderace is correct.
Okay,
yes,
so
that is one. That is one.
Okay, so Rillaboom.
That is also correct.
Also,
yep.
Oh wow, incredible. Inteleon,
the other.
Yes, that is also correct. That's full credit. That's full credit. Do you want the other two? I'll give them to you.
Oh, right. We got 3 out of 5.
Yeah, you got 3 out of 5.
Corviknight?
No.
That's a
good one, though. That's a good answer, actually.
That is a good one.
Boltund?
Boltund, right.
Is one of them.
Of course, because it's on the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other one is Perserker.
I do not consider
they like to use
either
that
obviously.
Okay.
Boltund makes sense because it's on all their gym merchandise.
Yeah. Perserker, I think they just like because it's Meowth.
And it's the first Meowth that didn't evolve into a Persian. So, you know, there's that.
Persian, yeah.
It's got a Scottish accent.
Honestly, I wish they'd make a Meowth variant every game. Just give me another Meowth. Give me all 18 types of Meowth. You thought Eevee had enough? No. I want Meowth.
We're gonna boost your mental attacks.
All right. So that's... That's 6 points for 4 questions. You're on your last question, which is your base deck question, as always. And this is going to be from, we're going to do from Zay Paladin.
Woo!
Because Sublime loves Superior.
It's true.
I
do.
Which Pokemon with the... Oh, actually, this has nothing to do with Superior.
Well,
I like.
Just kidding. I do, though.
But... I got the competitive ability and contrary mixed up in my head.
No.
which Pokemon with the competitive ability has the highest base special attack? And you know what?
Attack.
The answer will absolutely surprise you. And the superior thing was almost a hint.
I feel like it might be Empoleon now.
Oh,
it just
did
got
it?
That.
Oh, yeah, that's like 111,
yeah,
isn't
they
it?
They swapped Defiant to competitive.
That's good. Good for them. They deserve it. They do.
Yeah, they fixed.
The
they fixed
Milotic.
All the.
Milotic
they
is
fix
like
four,
not that
four.
High because it's the special
defense,
right? It's got 100.
It's got base 100, which is lower than
Meowstic's evolution. One of them got competitive. The one that didn't get Prankster, so no one uses it. Yeah,
Glameow?
Not Glameow.
Oh no, that's wrong.
But I.
Oh my gosh, what is Meowstic evolve into? What?
Meowstic doesn't evolve. It evolves from Esper.
Oh, so it is Meowstic. Okay. Meowstic is the evolution.
Yeah.
I can remember the word S.
I was like...
I
mean, I feel like it's Empoleon.
I feel like if it got it, I agree with that. I do, yeah. Yeah. Because, like, Wigglytuff? No. No.
No.
Milotic? Probably not. I mean, we know Empoleon.
Milotic's
is a higher
basic
special
attack is lower than Empoleon.
Yeah, so yeah. I can't think of anything higher.
Milotic's is 100. Empoleon, I think, is like
111. I want to say 111.
111? It's an odd number, I think.
Yeah, let's go with Empoleon.
Yeah, YOLO.
Empoleon is correct at 111 base special attack.
Okay.
Nice. You got the number.
It is.
Yeah,
and they just gave it to it this gen.
Yeah. Number two goes to Kilowattrel.
Okay.
At 105.
Oh,
yeah. And the number three slot is Milotic.
At 100.
At base 100.
What is Meowstic?
I have no idea.
Like, I know Meowstic has it, because it's like, but no one uses it because it's not.
I think it's a cat.
Yeah, psychic.
It's a psychic type cat.
That is true.
From Gen 6. It's got a form from the male and the female
form. The male form is better. We all know because prankster.
The base special attack is 83.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible. Wow. And they made it an attacker. What were they thinking?
That's higher than Talonflame's attack.
Yeah, but Talonflame don't care. Right? We all know.
Talonflame just kamikazes.
Mark your bingo cards.
Yeah. All right, well, that gives you guys 7 points today. Let me fix this trivia.
And we didn't get more than one hint at all. No.
No.
Not at all. No.
I'm never nice about those things, guys. I'm actually a stickler for the rules. People really love it in the surveys. They talk about how I'm really good at not doing that. How many did I say you get? Seven? Oh, I almost gave Seth negative points. And Sublime, you get 7 as well. So, remember, it's a race to 40. Somebody messed up my sheet and tried to make it, like, auto-do things, and it doesn't. But in first place, we've got Seth Vila with 38.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's a race to 40.
Okay.
In second place, we've got Linian with 36.
Y'all should just do one together and share the one.
Yeah. In third place, we've got Shark Finnegan with 28, tied with Whimsicott, who also has 28. In fifth, we've got Yushiro with 23. In sixth, R Sigma with 22. In seventh, Sublime with 21. Tied for eighth, we've got Shamu and Mark with 20. And following up in the rear is Cloud9 with 12.
Woo.
So, yeah, it's still anybody's game.
Goodness.
Yeah, it's
anybody's game.
I mean, yeah, you and Lydian just have to not be on the show, and it works out, I think.
I mean, I just due to circumstances,
are you on next week?
Not been on for like 2 months.
Yeah. All right. I love how most of the numbers are above 20 right now. So that's good.
Yeah.
Exception
just
of Claude, who's been doing
just
shows.
Looking to see what I'm on next again. Just you know, for no reason.
You know, I may have a poor Lydian. Maybe. You want to submit trivia for that show Lydian's on and all right. So that's going to be it for the trivia segment. If you want more, tune in next week for more Puckle's Poke Quiz. Until then, we're going to kick it on over to the topic. Are you addicted to cardboard like myself and Seth? Maybe you want to pick up a booster box of Obsidian Flames next week. Well, the best way to do it is to support the show by going to trollandtoad.com and using code PucklePod5 at checkout. Whenever you do so, we get a small kickback, and we really appreciate the support. So make sure, if you're buying anything, whether it's Pokemon, Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh, you can head on over to trollandtoad.com and use code PucklePod5 at checkout, get a 5% kickback for using the code and supporting the show. We appreciate everything you guys do, and we will catch you on the flip-flop. Welcome to the topic. Our topic today is top 5 and bottom 5 steel types. I love these. For those of you who haven't been to one of these shows before or listened to one of them, we have one for, I believe, this is the 16th.
Whoa!
Which is kind of crazy to think about. I like, when we started doing these, and I was like, yeah, we'll do like one a month. I'd never thought about the end being near.
Right?
When we started it, but the end is near. Granted, we have ideas on how to like keep this series going further. I am very excited. I can't wait until we have like that full list of like every type. Because, well, one, we have to fix the flying type one. I was not there for that, and I did not get to supervise.
You need to correct some errors.
And we're all upset about that. There needs to just be one episode. Like, the 19th episode has to be us just, like, going through all the lists and fixing them.
And disagreeing.
The actually episode.
The actually episode. Actually, this doesn't belong here. All right. Well, we're going to go through the Steel-type Pokemon. We're going to pick our top and bottom five. Each round, well, not round, but what I mean is we're each going to take a turn nominating a top and a bottom top Pokemon from the type. And then we're going to go ahead and build our list. We do all have to come to like mostly an agreement that it belongs on the list before it gets added. So if there's a strong enough disdain from one person or even two people, we can just, this Pokemon's just not showing up.
Mm-hmm.
So without further ado, I think we should just start. I have a couple.
Go
for it. Hit us. You go first.
So I'm going to go. I think this one's an easy slam dunk for top steel type. And I think that's Aegislash.
That's fair.
Yep. Absolutely.
No one can deny its impact. It's like, oh my God, right? Popularity. It's a Sword and Shield. It's Sword and Shield.
I just remember being, they didn't actually make it in Sword and Shield, did they? No, they
didn't. It's not
they
in
did.
That game.
No, it did. It did make it in. It did make it in, right? Yeah, yeah. Because Leon had one.
Yeah,
had
that's one. What's so cool. Because like, yeah, I'm a fan of it on Leon's team. It's from X and Y, but like.
I was really hyped because like when I played X and Y for the first time, because they had shown us Hone Edge and maybe Dewblade before the launch of the game.
I think they had shown Dewblade because people were afraid that it was going to turn into three swords. And then they said, oh no, you thought we were doing that, but no, no, no. Shield. Yeah.
Joke's on you.
I just thought Hone Edge was such a cool Pokemon, and Ghost Steel typing is just such a cool type.
It's such a strong type. A stupidly strong type.
It's such a cool type. So I like went out of my way to catch. I remember my playthrough. I went out of my way to go catch a Hone Edge and then get to Aegislash as soon as possible.
Agreed.
Something I learned very recently, because I used to do this. I used to collect all of the guidebooks for Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the launch of the game, they'd come out with like a hardcover guidebook, and they used to be super cool, like super well put together. The books would look really nice. I learned they stopped doing this because I wasn't paying attention during Sword and Shield because I got so bummed out by Dexit.
Mm-hmm.
That they just stopped doing them.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that a bummer?
I mean, the internet has just...
No, that's true, but I kind of just like having them on my shelf, because I remember having the X and Y one and like learning how to get Aegislash.
I hear that. Yeah, I remember those.
From my Dewblade, because I was just like, I need to know how to evolve this.
Yep.
It was, you know, Dusk Zone, so it was pretty easy. But yeah, okay, I think Aegislash is a slam dunk, though.
Easy choice. Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. And the shiny is gorgeous. I spent 3 months breeding to get a shiny one. The black sword. Ugh.
Okay, so now we need a bottom. And I think there's a lot of cool cool steel types. I think some types, these are, you know, slightly above average in terms of all of the Pokemon.
Uh-huh.
So this is a hard choice for me to make. But I'm gonna say Alolan Dugtrio. Because it's just Dugtrio with hair.
But it's really fabulous hair.
It's gorgeous.
It's great hair.
Alolan Diglett, I think, would, yes, I agree. Alolan Dugtrio has at least something unique.
Alolan Diglett just has, like, a cowlick, but Alolan Dugtrio has beautiful hair.
I've upset Alolan Dugtrio just isn't Wigglet, or Wugtrio.
Yeah.
That's what it should have been. let's all be honest. But, I mean, if you guys want to veto it, we can veto the Alolan Dugtrio. We can do that.
I thought about it, but I'm like, I do like the hair. It was also one of the first... yeah.
Augment that it's Diglett, not Dugtrio.
Yeah.
If we're keeping a rule that it's the fully evolved...
We can put Diglett, but not Dugtrio.
Diglett is literally just Diglett with one hair on it.
Okay, we're going to put Alolan Diglett, just so... Because I feel like we're going to have... we can do honorable mentions at the end and see if we can beat it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, I don't know who wants to go next. Seth or Sublime, your choice. I don't care.
I have one. Okay, so hear me out. Doesn't exist anymore, technically, but it is an icon.
Oh, no.
Mega Mawile.
I think we've only put one Mega on these lists. Well, no, we put two. We've put the royal
right.
We put Mega, Charizard. Ugh.
Ugh. Anyway.
on the flying type list. Ugh.
Why? You're right. We need to fix that. But anyway, I mean, can you just like what a like generation defining mega? You know, like what a zero to hero story. Like it was the moment. It was the icon. Like it was everywhere.
I don't know that I have four more to beat that. So like I'm kind of all for it.
I'm down. Mega Mawile's insane.
It definitely did. I'm glad these are two Gen 6 Pokemon so far. Mega Mawile, but yeah, Mega Mawile, I think it's fine, because it made Mawile actually a reasonable Pokemon.
It made it, like, really good. Like, that thing was so good in BGC, so good in OU, like, it was like, oh wow, we took this garbage Pokemon and made it amazing, until we got rid of what made it amazing, but still, for a while, Mega Mawile was the one.
What was real interesting about Mawile in general is, if I'm correct, it was our first pure Steel type.
Oh, no, it was, yeah, but they got... You know, no, you're right. It was technically the first...
And then it got demonoed, but like, yeah.
It was a Gen 6 fairy type.
Fairy edition, which is also a great type.
For a long time, it was, other than Registeel in the same gen, but it was the steel type, in a sense.
Yeah, no, yeah, I would agree with that. Also, I mean, Steel Fairy is, like, the best type in the
pretty
game.
Much.
I believe Steel Fairy to be the best typing in all of Pokemon.
I'm inclined to agree with you, frankly.
it gets rid of all of Fairy's weaknesses, makes you immune to one of them.
Period. Gives you an immunity to one, which is just dumb. Then gives you a gazillion resistance.
So, you're essentially getting Fairy type for free.
It's like all benefits, no detriment. Very bad.
Yeah, it's like when you're an electric flying type, you just get free electric type.
They combined two of the strongest types for that, yeah. And for worst, it's right in the name. We're Madam Trash. It doesn't even share. It's like ugh.
I knew it was going to make it to this list.
No, you're right. You're right. Why is it there? Why?
Any list that Wormadam is on, it's going to be in this bottom area.
As it should, because it can't pick a lane.
Do you feel strongly about Wormadam? Or like...
Do you not want Wormadam there?
I just feel so not strongly about Wormadam. That's why it's here.
Precisely. Precisely.
You know something that I learned that I didn't know until the last time I put Wormadam on a list? Is that... All three Wormadams have different stat spreads.
What? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I just prefer Mothim.
They really are just three different Pokemon.
They are three different... They gave them all different stats.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
The thing is...
Isn't that insane?
Trash is really defensive.
Wormadam... They're all Wormadam trash. They just have different... appearances, but they're all trash.
Actually, Sandy Cloak has more physical defense, and Plant Cloak has more special defense than Trash Cloak.
Oh, I guess Wormadam and Trash is neutral. I don't know.
It's like Registeel in between the two.
Yeah, if you look at these stats, they're wild, and they make no sense to me, but they exist.
Mm-hmm.
It's very confusing, but yeah, Wormadam Trash belongs in the trash. You know what's even worse? Is like Burmy's kind of cute when it changes its colors, and then like you get to Wormadam, and you're just like, what are you?
I do really like that it's based on a very, very real life animal that does the very, very real life behaviors that Burmy does. Wormadam is a very good step from Burmy for reflecting the actual bagworm animal. So that is very notably cool. If we're talking from like an ecological representation standpoint, Wormadam is 10 out of 10. But gosh.
I think it's just trash. I think it's literally just a trash Pokemon.
It's in the name. Yeah.
It's in the name.
All right. Well, Seth, it's up to you. We haven't had a stinker yet, so.
All right. I have a very obvious opinion and then a very controversial opinion.
Okay.
So.
Here for it.
First of all, starting with the top one. I don't think this one's too difficult. You know, it was one thing. You collect a bunch of things and it became steel. I'm talking Golden Go, the Pokemon that ate $1,000.
It looks so goofy.
Became one of the coolest Pokemon.
It looks so goofy.
Exactly. And it's happy.
I wish it didn't look like string cheese.
I love him so much.
It looks so dumb. I know a lot of people like it for that reason.
And he surfs. It's so cool.
Okay, why does he surf? I feel like that's such an odd addition.
Because he's just got coins. It's showing that he can not only like is the coins, but he can kind of control them almost like an extension of his body.
And we decided surfboard was the way to do that.
Yeah, it's a good fast way of locomotion. He's one of the few Pokemon that can keep up with you if you have him out.
Was this your controversial pick or your easy pick?
No, this was the easy pick because he's just made of money.
What?
Oh no.
He's a ghost inhabiting 1,000 coins. He is a hive mind.
I feel like you thought that was going to be a slam dunk.
I thought it was. Wait till you get to the controversial. My gosh. Apparently.
Like, you picked the wrong people to make that argument with. If Linian was here, you would get it on the list.
if Linian was here, this would make the list.
If Linian was here, you guys would put it on the list. I don't like it. I wish I did, but its design bothers me.
All right. That's fair.
It's such a strong Pokemon, too. I'm annoyed by how ugly I find it.
I enjoy the concept. I just really dislike the execution.
I want to go back to the drawing board, quite literally.
I love that the shiny is the same as the regular, which is very funny to me.
No, it's slightly different. The shiny is slightly different.
Because it's gold?
Yeah.
It's like one pixel shade off.
I do like when shinies are almost exactly the same. One of my favorite shinies is Scyther. It's just like a lighter green.
Yeah. I think the belt is different.
Let me look. I'm going to look. Because there is a difference that is semi-noticeable.
The chest is a different color.
No, it's the... So he's got those rings around him of different colors.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
those change from, they're like an orangish colors to be like more gold to accent him.
Oh, okay.
They change to like a green, at least in home, they do that, to a green or a blue. That is the only difference, though.
I think they should have made it like a white color and made it white.
The Gimme Ghoul is white on the inside of the chest.
I think Gimme Ghoul is a cute Pokemon. He's just...
Gimme Ghoul is cooler than Goldengo.
But then when Gimme Ghoul inhabits all of the coins as a ghost, it becomes something different. The coins don't change that he has to collect, and that's his body that he found. It's not his body for real. He's a ghost inhabiting 1,000 coins.
Also, can I point out that Gimme Ghoul was the right way to do Meltan?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You want to talk about the right way to do Meltan? I think Gimme Ghoul is the way that you do Meltan.
That is very so true. Yeah.
Because I think Meltan's just like in this weird limbo place.
So true, bestie.
Poor Meltan.
But then they're just like, hey, let's make these two like equally bad forms of Gimme Ghoul.
Yeah.
Because he gets no attacks. Like, that's the honest answer. He just gets like no attacks. And let's make two versions of this Pokemon that are, it's cool to have both, but you don't need both.
Yeah.
They really just were trying to force Pokemon Go down our throats at some point.
Yep. And given it's still a Go exclusive for now, I think, right?
Yeah, Melmetal is, yeah.
Melmetal?
Well, you can get a Melmetal through Pokemon Home still.
Oh, can you? Well, I mean, like, can you evolve it, though?
No, you can't evolve Meltan into Melmetal.
It still only evolves in Go?
Yeah, isn't that stupid? I would be so okay with it. I would be more okay with that solution if I could send a Meltan back to Pokemon Go.
Yep, exactly.
That's why I'm not as mad about, like, Weirdeer and Ursaluna right now.
Yeah, because you can send a thing to...
I can send a Pokemon there, yeah, but I can't.
But you can't do it with Go. You've got a Meltan, it is just a Meltan forever.
Yeah, Meltan's such a weird. I mean, I'm hoping in the next game that we get, they're just like, oh, hey, Thunderstone.
I think it's coded to evolve from Thunderstone, but they just don't have a what it evolves into coded.
Yeah, it's awful. I mean, Melmetal even has like an evolution move.
It does, Thunder Punch.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm hearing that we're vetoing Golden Go, right? At least as top.
Now I'm scared to know what you think is controversial.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. So what do you think of when you think of a steel-type Pokemon?
Meltan.
You think of, like, metal and a cool, like, weirdly defensive thingamajig, I guess, in some senses. You don't think of Anubis, the god of death.
Oh, this is funny, because I was going to suggest him for Todd.
I firmly think that Lucario has no business being a steel type.
It is confusing. I don't disagree with you. What the hell does that have to do with auras? What does that have to do with auras at all?
Why are you steel?
I don't know why. I hear the idea.
Lucario is a very cool Pokemon. I will give you that. It's a very cool Pokemon.
It's also like, it has all that like lore of being the first Mega, right?
Right. It's very cool in that regard, but as a steel type, it does not speak to the steel typing.
Well, it's fighting steel, right? It's steel secondary.
Can I put that like as like, can we put a pin in that one? Only because I think I could find three more that are worse.
Yep. I mean, I'm looking at it from the type and the Pokemon of that type, not like...
No, that's fair.
The coolest Pokemon that just also happens to be...
It is sort of arbitrary that it's a steel type.
It is a poor ambassador to the type committee.
I do think that it getting steel type is literally, it's almost like in the same vein as Lugia getting psychic type, where they're just like, this is a cool type to put on that.
At least Lugia kind of can make sense because it is telepathic, like in early games that could make sense. But Lucario, like, it walks into the type committee and Arceus says, oh yes, Lucario, you're here to represent fighting. And Lucario pushes up its glasses and says, actually, I'm here for the steel types. What? Why? I didn't even give you... Oh, I did.
I still want to put a pin in that, only because I think I can find three worse steel types than Lucario.
Yeah, for sure.
I think there's three worse. Yeah, Lucario's in a weird limbo place. I hear you.
So I contributed nothing. Woo!
No. You made two bold attempts. Okay.
You did. You know what? And your opinion will be heard on the podcast. And you know, people agree with you. People disagree with you, but people do agree with you.
Fight me! Fight me!
I get to pick a. I get to pick a top now.
Yeah.
If you have a top, I have a bottom.
Ooh, I mean, I could have a bottom as well.
And that's true in life too. But.
Okay, so in steel types, I think we didn't put him on the psychic type list because I think it doesn't really fit psychic type, but Metagross.
Agree. That was on my top list.
I like that we just all agree. Yeah, I think Metagross is very good for top.
Yeah, it was the first steel pseudo-legendary, like, very cool.
I think Metagross is very easy to just throw up there.
Agree.
For bottom, now, I think this one is also pretty easy, but... Galarian Stunfisk? What are you...
That was my next choice! Completely agree! Yes!
Why are you here?
Why do you exist, first of all? Second of all, I get that you're a bear trap, but like...
And that was the first Gen 5, like, variant? I'm bothered. I'm offended.
And its signature move is grass type? Like, what are you doing?
No, I... Okay, so it does encapsulate the reason why I like Pokemon. Because they're willing to just build a world with whatever they feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because like, nobody's ever going to ask for Galarian Stunfisk. Like, nobody's asking for that. Like, even Stunfisk fans aren't like, yes, Galarian Stunfisk is what I've wanted.
There are Stunfisk fans.
There's a fan of everything.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. All two of them.
I support what you stand for, Galarian Stunfisk, but I cannot support your existence.
Very that. And also, imagine getting, like, in a Galarian Stunfisk. That would make people dislike it, right? Like...
Yeah.
I mean, that applies to most Pokemon.
Yeah, but it's not cute. At least if you get hit by something cute, you're like, oh, my bad. You see a Galarian Stunfisk, you want to throw it over a cliff.
Yeah.
I feel that. Okay, I feel that.
No, these are, like, I feel like that's very easy. Like, yeah, we're at three now. 3-3.
You took my literally snatch. Those were the two choices I was going to suggest. So now I'm about to.
Now you have to think.
Okay.
I've got more. I got another bad one, but.
I bet you do. Okay. I have a bottom suggestion. I'm going to suggest my bottom first, and it is Probopass. Why? Hate it. Not a fan.
I will not say it's a good Pokemon.
I think it's offensive, bordering on actionable. Why do we need that? Like, I hate it.
I like how, like, as a steel type, it's very much embodying, like, magnetism and things like that.
Yeah, I gave a talk at I gave a talk at MitsuriCon about it.
I think it's nifty.
I gave a panel about it. Well, not just it, but also, like, Magnezone, who's also on this list.
Yeah.
Love Magnezone. Hate Probopass.
I love that it became steel. Like, it aligned itself so much to magnetizing north that it actually magnetized and drew up enough iron ore out of wherever it was standing and became steel type. And it's got the iron filings as a mustache. That's such a nifty thing to me. I like it.
I don't know. I also just like, I like Nosepass for no reason. Like, I have feelings about Nosepass that don't make sense to me. Much in the same way I have feelings for Primeape for some reason. I don't know why I like Primeape.
Like, they all stand and point north in the overworld now. That's such a good little thing.
Okay, so that's a loss. That's fair. That's fine. I'm okay with that. What about one of my favorite new Pokemon, and I hope one of yours as well?
Okay.
Tinkaton.
Yes, absolutely.
Icon. Oh, she is the moment.
I don't feel strongly about Tinkaton.
Have you seen the little clip of the opening where she sees a Corviknight and absolutely goes nuts?
Yes, I did see that. I did see that, actually.
And you hear the happy laughing as she's trying to murder this bird. I love her so much.
So when I saw that clip that was in that recent thing that Paul Dayan wins.
Yeah. Yes.
When I saw that, it made me think of my dog. going after a squirrel, because like my dog will just be happy and she's like, I'm gonna get that squirrel, and I'm like, I can't control you right now.
Yeah, and you've got a hammer the size of a car going after this thing. Queen.
I don't disagree.
Yeah,
I will not disagree with you, but
she needs an item.
That hammer is just yes, just yes.
She needs a thick club item. 75 attack is not.
She deserves better, but like, oh my god, I love Tink Tong. Best type in the game, right? Yeah. Its type is carrying it because its stats are bad.
Shockingly useful support move pool. It's not even that its stats are bad. It's just that the one stat is bad, which is kind of made up for with Gigaton Hammer, because that's just such an obscenely powerful move.
Yeah, that thing hits so hard. I agree, yeah.
They took the type and like made it balanced.
Agree.
With Tinkerton. Agree. They did do that.
They did a great job like keeping it from being too much. It's such a cool Pokemon.
And it's beloved. It's so lovable. Love it. Tinkerton. Yeah, that's my nomination.
Marabiba.
I will give it to you too. I do not feel that strongly, but I will give it to you.
Yay.
See, there you go. See, Seth, I'm on your side sometimes.
She's on my chart.
Seth, it's your turn now. You get to. We do need one more top, so you still get to nominate a top, and you get to do a bottom as well.
Okay, top one and a bottom. Okay, let me consider real quick.
I've got a bottom if you want to still think about it.
Go ahead that might get us back on track.
Yeah, the answer is Melmetal. Like we just all agree that it's a terrible choice, like a terrible like concept.
I think it's such a good Pokemon. Like the
it's a cool Pokemon. I just think like we're hating on it for reasons that are valid, but like
Okay.
Yeah. Outside of it.
It's not Melmetal's fault that the Pokemon company did it so dirty.
That's fair.
It's such a good Pokemon. Like the stat line is almost perfect. The moves are wild.
I retract my statement.
If we want it to be re-controversial, if we want to be really controversial, we should say Zabazenta for bottom. Because, like, what were they thinking?
I mean, Shield.
Zacian. I'm sorry, yeah, but, like...
It's very clear that they thought of Zacian.
Yeah. What were they thinking?
And then they're just like, oh, we need another one. What goes well with Sword Dog?
A Shield! Yeah.
Shield Dog? And somebody's just like... And they're just like, yeah, that's where the thought ends.
Yep.
Like Shield Dog, Force Amazenta.
But also Zacian is such a derpy. Like they took an internet meme and are like, let's.
You know what? They can share it. How about they share it? Like, ugh.
I'm not against it. I just think they're just so uninspired. I love how much of this is just like we're just dunking on Gen 8. But
what if we gave a dog a sword and it like had to use its mouth?
Oh my gosh, we are dunking on Gen 8. I didn't realize we were dunking on Gen 8 so hard.
Zacian and Zamazenta both take a slot as the bottom because they're the same problem.
They are the...
And Galarian. They are, yeah.
It's just the same Pokemon, but one has a different code on.
No, that's literally it. That's literally it, though.
Some of the least inspired legendaries, I will say.
I do like the naming convention and how that was developed. I love the name, though. Like, of all of the parts about the Zacian Zamazenta bit, the name being, and they said it in an interview, where it was, like, supposed to be...
The cyan and the magenta.
Cyan and magenta.
Oh, yeah, I saw the cyan Pokemon. The cyan, Zacian, it just...
The cyan, yeah, and the magenta.
That's such a cool idea. Like, the...
I like the etymology. A-plus etymology... D minus everything else.
Execution of everything else.
I've never seen like a more off kilter like legendary pair either. Like,
yeah.
Than those two. Like if you look in the past, like Ho-Oh and Lugia, very evenly matched.
Yeah.
In terms of like power scaling, Kyogre and Groudon. Like you could make an argument that Kyogre is used a little bit more competitively, but Groudon.
Not after they got their primal revert, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah. Both of them are still very good, though. But, like, Zamazenta almost dropped to OU. It is OU now.
That's so wild. That's wild.
But then you also, you look at, like, Dialga and Palkia, and you could be, like, one of those is worse than the other, and it's probably Palkia, but...
But they're both usable, you know.
One controls time. One controls space. One holds a sword in its mouth.
But they're both fine. And then, And then you get to like Black and White and Reshiram and Zekrom, both pretty okay. And then you've got Xerneas and Yveltal, same deal.
Well, I feel like we would all acknowledge that Xerneas has had more of an impact. But Yveltal's really cool.
Life and death. And thematically, they're very good. They're symbolic of life and destruction.
And they are very... Yeah, and Yveltal, you know, holds its own. Yveltal does hold its own.
And well, they're also both very different, which I think is very cool as well. I think they're both very different.
And they're based on... They're very clearly based on Nordic mythology.
And then you look at, like, Solgaleo and Lunala. Like, those are both pretty cool.
Yeah, the sun and the moon, alchemy...
Yeah, well, I feel like these are like the worst designed legendaries, box cover legendaries.
Zacian and Zamazenta are both kind of phoned in.
I are good at stopping black hole death.
But I do feel like we could say that about a lot of things in Gen 8 being phoned in. Like, Gen 8 kind of feels like the epitome of Pokemon, the franchise being on autopilot.
Yeah.
To some extent, with the exception of like almost every other Pokemon design.
Even the story is on autopilot. Like...
Oh, as they drag you through it, you could just hit A and beat the game.
I want to be the protagonist, please.
But Leon's so cool.
You know, you could totally just fix that game by letting me battle that Berserker with Leon. Like, you let me do it, and then you know what? You let his Charizard, like, one-shot the Berserker while we're in the battle, and you're just like, why was I even here?
The fact that Leon, the mascot of Gen 8, his ace is a freaking Charizard? Like, come on.
We've said it all before. They know.
You're banging on the drum. It's fine.
We're getting our grievances out again. Gosh dang it. Okay, so I've got to come up with good ones and bad ones.
Mark it on your bingo card. We mentioned Dexit earlier. Here we are talking to you. You know.
We did it, folks.
Just as like a history lesson. Not as like a, I'm complaining.
No, for sure.
This is such a good bingo episode. Okay, so I've got a top for sure. And I really like this Pokemon. It may not be the most used, but it really does exemplify steel type to me.
Okay.
Escavalier.
As a top?
It's a bug knight in shining armor. It's got the whole spear. It's got the whole armor. It's such a cool thing.
Is it one of the top?
We just did the bug type episode and we put that on the bottom.
I believe it.
It's a bottom bug. It's a bottom bug, but it's a top steel. It is a very good steel type.
Man, Hisuian Gudra is sitting right here.
I don't think it's top five. Oh, I wouldn't pick that one either.
It's also good. Like, they're kind of the same vein, but Hisuian Gudra is more sadness and Escavalier is more bravery.
Empoleon sitting right here.
Steelix is right there.
Empoleon is a good water type.
Steelix and Scizor are right there.
I don't know why Empoleon's steel type. Scizor is also good. I was going to mention that too, but I could see Escavalier being much more like...
I mean, I feel like Scizor is a much better choice than Escavalier. Like,
I think we put Scizor on top bug just as a heads up.
Yeah, I was going to mention that next if this one got vetoed. Scizor's an awesome poke. It's on my chart.
Man, I like Berserker so much more.
Oh, gosh. This is going to be hard to find a final. What about... Okay, what's something we could all agree on? Corviknight? Do we all like Corviknight?
Berserker would have been a great steel fighting.
Actually, yeah, you're right. Berserker would have been a great steel fighting. I don't disagree with that sentiment.
That is an excellent point. Switch types Lucario, it gets the fighting.
No, Lucario can keep the steel fighting, but Berserker also gets to be a steel fighting. Okay, that's the deal.
That would have been such a good...
Like, Berserker is a better steel fighting type than...
It would make more sense.
Like, I am a little upset Berserker did not get a second type. I think it should have gotten a second type.
I see why it didn't, but I agree it would have been cool if it did.
Berserker's cry is just a really sped up come at me bro in Gaelic.
Well, I could also see it being like Steel Dark too. Like that would be okay, I think.
It's got the word Berserker in its name.
That is also true. That is also true.
Berserker, like, all right, I'm going to come out and punch ya. What's all out of...
Okay, we gotta find a top we're all gonna agree on. I mean, I could get behind the Steelix train. I get behind the Steelix train.
Steelix or Scizor?
Steelix or Scizor?
Steelix. I think Steelix only... Well, partially because Scizor's already on a top bug list.
It introduced the tie.
Though Scizor is one of those Pokemon. Steelix did.
Aggron's another good one.
Steelix did, and Steel is in its name.
That's true.
It is. That's true. It's a very good Steel type, too. Like, it, but thematically, flavor.
And like Sublime said, he is the one who introduced the type.
Yeah. Yeah, Fortress doesn't count.
It's like one of the poster boys for like introducing the tie.
Yep. Yeah. Brox was great. I dig it. Steelix is a good one.
You know, Steelix, you make it OG.
It deserves some love. It's like the OG steel type. Yeah.
Well, technically the OG steel type is like Magnemite, but...
Is Magnemite, but like, they got it. They were introduced to steel types at the same time, is part of it, right?
And when you fought Jasmine, you didn't care about the Magnemites. You cared about the Steelix.
You cared about the Steelix, 100%.
All right, so we need a final bottom.
Durant, I thought about too.
Durant, I was considering. Yeah.
We're all considering Durant. Okay.
It's just like not notable.
It's very unnotable. Yeah.
It's a cool Pokemon, but meh.
A Gen 5 Pokemon just being there and being unnotable? Oh, what? I never heard of before.
Crazy.
I love Simisear.
I actually don't hate Simisear. Controversial take.
Simisteel.
It's my favorite of the three monkeys. I'm gonna say it. It's my favorite of the three monkeys.
Get ready for like Pokemon Legends Kyurem and...
No. No.
And our new friend Panzap and Simizap.
No. You just don't even get a starter. Like, you get
Simizap?
Simis.
Oh, that would be awful, actually.
That would actually be the worst. Like, no, your starter is this, and nothing's different.
After they did such a good job hiding that the starters got Hisuian evolutions, I kind of think if they did another Legends game, the starter choice is going to be hype for everybody.
Yeah.
Right? We're all going to be like, what does it turn into?
What will it be?
Yeah, it's going to be hype. It's going to be hype.
Yeah.
Like, I hope they do another Legends game.
I really hope they do another. That was such a cool concept. Gosh, I want to catch things like that again.
I would love that. That'd be really cool.
The music is so good in that one, too. Oh, my gosh.
That is one of the only Pokemon games, like, I'll just restart.
Right?
All the time.
Not BDSP.
I restart it all the time.
I technically still haven't finished it.
I think BDSP is the best version of a Nuzlocke game that you will get. I think BDSP is challenging. I also think the battle backgrounds are beautiful.
Yeah.
These are Thatch's takes on BDSP. I do not think BDSP is as bad as people are saying it is. That does not mean that Thatch is saying it is a good game.
It is a faithful remake.
As they say, a bad Pokemon game is still a Pokemon.
Yeah, well, that's true, but I also believe that one, we are not the audience, like the true audience for BDSP.
Yeah.
I believe that we are the audience for I believe the audience for BDSP is people who did not play Diamond and Pearl.
See, I still have my cartridge of Platinum, and I can still play it.
I think we were expecting an Auraz revamp.
No, that's why, because I think that we could all go back and play Diamond and Pearl because we own our copies of Diamond and Pearl. Why would we inflict ourselves such torture? I don't know, but we could do that. But if you think about, everybody's complaining about the secondhand market for a lot of these Gen 5 games right now. And if we got a faithful remake of Black and White and maybe another faithful remake of Black and White 2, I think Black and White 2 is a great game. You can just go sit in the corner.
It is. Sorry. It is. Especially because it's a sequel. God, that's so good.
I think if we just got like faithful remakes of those, I think the games would be fantastic because it would help bring down the price, you know, the older games on that hardware. But I think making faithful remakes of those is a very smart move on Nintendo's part, especially for the DS games, I think, specifically, because when we get to Virtual Console, because Pokemon's coming back to the Virtual Console. We all know this. Or Nintendo Switch Online, I should say. Like, Nintendo, it's coming to Nintendo Switch Online. Everybody's going to be like, well, there's a new Switch, Thatch. I think Nintendo Switch Online will exist for the new Switch as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll get, you know, Red, Blue, Yellow, and even Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald.
Hopefully. That'd be great.
On the Virtual Console. But I don't think there's a good solution to playing DS games on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why we definitely need remakes of these. And then, honestly, when they shut down Pokebank, we need remakes of XY and Sun and Moon as well.
I'm just waiting for Gen 6 remakes so that we get Megas back.
This has been Thatch on his stand while we're talking. While we have already agreed that Durant is the worst.
I typed it in while we were talking.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
So let it be written. Let it be done. Our top five and bottom five list is... do you have an honorable mention you think you can upset this list?
Oh, well, I thought we were going to talk about him, but like, yeah, I agree with this list.
We talked about Lucario. I think Lucario is an honorable mention. I think your reasoning, Seth, was very good. I just think that the ones on this list are worse.
Agreed. Yep.
And I think our top five is actually very solid, but I can't think of anybody I would add. Like, the only thing I would think about is, like, maybe Iron Treads could be bottom. I think it's somewhat disappointing as a Paradox, but I still think Paradox Pokemon are a cool concept.
Yeah.
Like, they've really grown on me in the past year. I have really been, like, I was really worried with the leaks coming out of...
Where is that? Oh, there it is.
I was really worried with the leaks coming out of Twitter that the Paradox Pokemon were going to be weird and awful.
Yeah.
Because the way they describe them, like, oh, Vampire Jigglypuff, I'm like, that doesn't evolve. I'm like, what's the point then?
That doesn't make sense. What?
It doesn't need to.
I'm still a huge subscriber to the imagination theory, which makes it all make sense.
We'll find out in a month.
We will find out in a month, because I'm pretty sure that's like where Walking Wake and everybody's going to come from.
Whoa, it's not actually a time machine. Ah!
There's no way that's a time machine. There's no way.
No way. No way.
There's no way. They've hinted at it so hard. They hinted at it so hard in the game.
This is a good question.
Yeah, that's all I would probably bring up.
We did it.
I don't know about anybody else that you would bring up as an honorable mention, but...
No, I'm pretty happy with this list. Scizor,
Okay.
It's on a list already.
Scizor is a good Pokemon.
Corviknight, but like Corviknight's on the top five line, which, well, we'll see how that goes.
I mean, that's like the only one I agree with.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Have you looked at that list? Have you looked at that list? That list is disappointing.
Not really.
That list hurts me. Physically hurts me. Like, I agree with maybe two of the Pokemon on that top five list. All right, but we are going to go ahead and I guess this is the list. Like I said, the list, the top five for our steel type is going to be Aegislash, Mega Mawile, Metagross, Tinkaton, and Steelix. I list that and I feel so strong about it. Steel solid.
It's a good list. Yeah.
I feel good about it, you know?
Bottom five, Alolan Diglett, Wormadam Trash.
It's in the name.
The form, the trash form, not just like that it is trash, but Glorian Stunfisk, Zacian and Zamazenta holding a slot there together, being the worst legendaries of all time.
Kinda.
Woo.
And then Durant, because who remembers that that's a Pokemon?
The Anteater Pokemon, what's it called? Heatmore probably remembers it, and that's the only Pokemon that cares. And who likes Heatmore? Is Heatmore on our bottom five? Because it should be.
In our fire?
Probably forgot about it when you were making it.
Oh, see, I would have replaced half this stuff with Heatmore, but that's another story for another day.
Heatmore did not make that list. All right. Well, on that note, guys, we are going to go ahead and we are going to end the topic there. Not the show. We still have more to do.
Yeah.
We're going to kick it on over now, guys, to the Pokemon of the episode. We'll catch you on the flip-flop.
Pokemon of the episode.
Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 1013.
Gah.
That's what the sound
we
I got
there.
To.
That's...
Sinistra, the macho Pokemon.
It pretends to be tea, trying to fool people into drinking it so it can drain their life force. Its ruse is generally unsuccessful.
Great, great. This is fantastic.
That's because it's the unremarkable forms dex entry, not the masterpiece forms dex entry.
Yeah, the masterpiece form, but we'll give you two dex entries just for fun. It lives inside a superb teacup that was crafted by a potter of great renown. Collectors positively adore this Pokemon.
I'm sure they do. But yeah, Sinistra, it's a grass ghost Pokemon instead of just a ghost Pokemon. You know, I really wish they would have saw like the green and been like, we could have made this a different type. I don't know. Like,
no.
They could have.
How dare you?
The ghost is fine, but maybe we could have gone with something. I don't know. Bug ghost?
Ghost water.
No, it's perfect.
Because you're pouring like a liquid, you know? And what is tea? It's flavored water. It's just like herb water, right? Like,
that's true, actually.
What is tea? It's water with grass in it.
Yeah, so ghost water, that's a much less common type. Jellicent's just over there by itself, you know, floating.
Yeah, I do actually agree with Sublime.
I do like it. I'm not mad at it.
It's my perfect baby. I think it's going to end up on my chart at some time.
It is, okay, of all of the Pokemon they could have given, like, something to, I think this was a good choice. I love how they're just taking Gen 8 Pokemon and just being like, what if we made them different and good now in Gen 9?
It's like, okay, we messed up. Let's try again.
Like, they did it with Applin.
And it fulfills such a different role to Poltergeist.
They did it with Applin by giving it Diplin.
That's, I love Diplin. Super.
And
cool.
whatever Diplin evolves into, because Diplin can hold Eviolet and Triplin. That's a good name. I like that name. I like Hydraplin as well. I do like Hydraplin.
Because die means two.
That's a good idea too. But we'll see. I also love the Pokedex entry and how it's like literally like two kids in a trench coat feels in Diplin.
Yep. It's actually two guys.
It's actually two of them in there.
One ticket to the adult movie, please. Yeah. Thank you. Ignore the fact that we can hold Eviolite and we're children. Never mind. Wait a minute. Why did your stats go up?
All right. But yeah, this isn't about those. This is about Sinistra, which has like really cool moves, including Matcha Gacha, which is a signature move to it.
What if we put Giga Drain in your Scald so you can Giga Drain for your...
Yeah. Matcha Gacha deals damage to the... it's base 80, which is also an insane number. Grass-type move, special, so it's perfect for Sinistra. And it hits both opponents in a double battle.
That's just dumb.
Insane.
It does restore the user's HP to equal to half the damage dealt, and it has a 20% chance to burn targets.
So it's literally better than Yveltal's signature move.
And it thaws you. No, no. Oblivion Wing heals you by more.
Also, Matcha Gacha thaws freeze. Fun fact. Like, it's one of the moves that will thaw freeze. So that's ridiculous.
Yeah, no. Matcha Gacha heals you half damage dealt. Oblivion Wing heals you more. Hang on.
Oh, right. It's one of those 75s, huh?
But yeah, this is it's great. This is a fantastically stupid Pokemon. I love it.
I love it. It's got such a weird moveset. It learns Strength Sap, immediate favorite.
I mean, it's got a decent move pool in general. Like it does get like Life Dew. It does have its new signature ability. Probably just for the time being. I'm sure this ability will get around. But it's called Hospitality. And when a Pokemon enters the battle, it restores the HP for an ally by 25%.
Very good for doubles. Like, insanely good for doubles.
Which is why we got a VGC team today.
For doubles, it's fantastically good. It isn't fantastically good. That's why we... Yeah.
And even in singles, you use the hidden ability of Heat Proof to neutralize one of your weaknesses.
So Sinistra, we do have a team. It is a VGC team with Sinistra on it. It is just meant to help you out and run Trick Room. And this is just like the evolution of the Armor Rouge and DD team that existed at the beginning of the meta, like a year ago now, which is a good core. Like Armor Rouge and DD is fantastic because you never know which one's going to use Trick Room.
Surprise! It's Sinistra.
And it's very hard to predict, and you can't fake out. You can't do a lot of things. It's a very good lead. But you do have Sinistra to help you Trick Room as well. And so Sinistra, this team has one holding a Citrus Berry with the ability Hospitality so that you can do some healing as well. With an EV spread that only a mother could love and understand. I'm not even going to read it off because you guys can get it on the Discord.
High HP, high special, put the EVs other places. Special defense specifically, yeah.
Special defense. But it does have Matcha Gacha. It does have Strength Sap because this thing's just meant to survive and redirect special attacks. And it's also got Trick Room, so it can set its own Trick Room as well, and Rage Powder, because this is a very hard Trick Room.
Other
team,
than one.
It looks like. Well, no, it's not. I lied. Other than two. You also have an Iron Hands on this team as well, because Iron Hands is just good everywhere. Iron Hands gets good for raids, it's good for VGC, it's good for the TCG now, apparently.
It's just literally everywhere.
So that's fun. I can't wait. I can't wait for it to not do well at a tournament at all.
It's just not good in OU. And that's it. That's the only place.
Yeah, that's it. It's the only place. It's good in every other meta. This is an Iron Hands holding an Assault Vest. It's got the Quark Drive ability because what else is it going to have? Terra-type Grass so that you don't get hit by Earthquakes. And additionally, it's got a crazy spread where it's spread between HP, Attack, and Special Defense. A little bit of speed. Adamant Nature with Fake Out. Drain Punch, because that's what an Iron Hands has. Wild Charge, because that is also what an Iron Hands has. And Heavy Slam to round things out, so you can hit other Pokemon that are big and weak to steel. Somebody want to take another one of these pairs? Because these pairs are all work together.
I'll take the first two. Indeedy and Armourouge, we were talking about for cores. You've got your Indeedy F with a Rocky Helmet and, of course, the Psychic Surge ability. Terra type is Fairy, and then real simple spread, 252 HP, 252 defense, and then 400 special defense with a relaxed nature, because we're Trick Rooming. Yes, it is. It's the only simple spread on this team. VGC tends to have more complex spreads, I will say.
The level 50 thing.
No, you need to because of level 50 things, and also you play a lot of speed tricks, too.
Real supportive. We've got Follow Me, Helping Hand, the obligatory Trick Room, and then Dazzling Gleam, because the Terra type is Fairy. And then, yeah. And spread,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's just so you can hit hard if you really, really need to. And it's spread. Wide Guard's not as prominent right now, so it helps out.
Armourouge is running a Life Orb and Flash Fire. And its Terra type is Psychic, so you're really hitting hard with that Psychic Surge. EV spread is 228 HP, 4 defense, 196 special attack, 12 special defense, and 68 speed. With a modest nature, and it's running Expanding Force, which is going to be disgusting in the Psychic Surge, with the Psychic Terra type, Flamethrower, Protect, and Trick Room, of course. And that's those two. Yeah, I know you love the last one there.
And I'll take us home with the backup core if you want to go away from Trick Room. Yeah, I do. That's another one that might make the chart. But anyway, we've got... There's a lot of changes. There's Ninetales Alolan. It's holding Light Clay. It's got the ability Snow Warning. Terra type of Water, because that's really good defensive typing. Some HP, a lot of defense, a whole lot of speed, and a timid nature for its spread. And moveset of Icy Wind, Moonblast, Aurora Veil, so you can take advantage of that Snow Warning, and Protect. And with the Light Clay, that Aurora Veil sticks around for a long, long time. And then as the complementary thing to that Ninetales, we've got Roaring Moon himself with the attack Frenzied Gouging for 3 Dark and... Oh, wait, sorry. Roaring Moon holding a... holding a booster energy. The ability is, of course, Protosynthesis to activate that booster energy. Terra type of Flying, you know what's coming next. A little bit of HP, almost a lot of attack, almost max speed, and a jolly nature moveset of Knock Off. It's a brand new move that it got.
Watch out.
Acrobatics, Protect, and Tailwind. That stupid, crazy, dumb Flying Terra Acrobatics booster energy combo to just go ham on your opponent and do a million damage. Roaring Moon, baby, it's very good.
But not on the list.
Not on the chart yet.
Have you noticed that Iron Jugulus and Roaring Moon just swap types between like the Pokemon that they were based on?
That they are? Yeah.
That's
cute.
Fun.
Yeah. Yep. Isn't that cute? I appreciate that. Yeah, that Roaring Moon became Dragon Dark and then Iron Jugulus became Dragon Flying. Thought it was a good idea.
Wait, isn't it Dark Flying? Second, yeah, other thing.
No, it's Dark Flying. They grabbed each other's... I don't know what happened. Not quite. Never mind. I lied.
That's okay. The idea was there.
JK.
It's fine. The idea was in my brain. It was almost there.
Sinistra, the Pokemon. Yeah.
It's a cool Pokemon.
Sinistra, yeah. Try this team out on the ladder. Have a good time.
When I was just running through the DLC, just catching Pokemon to complete the decks, I just saw a Poltergeist, threw a ball at it, and just, you know, okay, that one's done. Now moving on. And got a raid for the Sinistra, and all right, cool, that one's done. Moving on. And I was trading with Shamu to get a couple things, and I noticed, because you know how it doesn't show, it shows if your person you're trading with doesn't have it in their decks. He didn't have Poltergeist.
Yeah, the Sinistra.
And I was really confused, like, bro, you've completed the decks. What do you mean? Oh, I had the masterpiece that I had. The one that I just threw a ball at out in the wild, the first one I saw was a masterpiece. And now I'm mad because it's in a quick ball and I can't change it.
How would you know? It's fine.
I know. I'm a fool.
This team is going to be on our Discord server, though, so you can try it out. I've been wanting to just get back on cart and like ladder. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm very inspired to just do a lot of Pokemon stuff lately. And I really want to do it. Like, what I really want to do is I want to do streams where, like, you and I actually test with webcams again.
Getting ready for San Antonio. I'm going to be doing that.
For a TCG, just to have some fun with it. I mean, I'm not going to do it, but we should do it for your prep for San Antonio. You, Shamu, and Claude. We could do it. We could pull that off, get some good streams going. So we should talk about that. And then I'm not going because I do not want to be in on an airplane ever again.
What if you took a train?
Amtrak.
And I don't know that I could take a train to San Antonio. I think I could. I shouldn't say I can't. I think I could. I just think it would be like at least two connections and at least like 2 or 3 days to get there. I do not want to. But that's a good point. That's a good callback. But yeah. Try the team out. We're going to go ahead and we're going to kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time. It's time for the mailbag. Send in your emails.
Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com and let us know what you think about the topic. Our topic last week had something to do with, I actually forget. Was that the Charizard episode?
Graphics.
That's right. I forget which episode. They're all blending together. we talked about graphics and we wanted to know what you guys thought about graphics. So I'm actually very excited to see. It's in the subject. I'm such an idiot. We wanted to see, of course, this segment is brought to you by the fictional energy drink, Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
Hooves!
And we'll give out the Green Tauros badge to anybody we deem worthy. We got two emails here today that we're going to try to get through answering this question. Our first one is going to come from The Real EV.
Yeah. What's up, everyone? It's your third favorite Eeveelution here, The Real EV. Man, I have some things to say. So the graphics for the latest Pokemon game was on the Switch. Has kind of always bugged me. Like, why do I feel like they were moving closer and closer to the anime art style, but in a 3D space? I think they made a sudden change in art direction that also affected the graphics when they came out with Pokemon Go. Be it that they were trying to pander to the Go crowd or unintentionally be influenced by it, I feel like it's shown in the latest games. Personally speaking, I think the games would do a lot better, graphics-wise, if they went a little more stylistic instead of realistic. People would be more forgiving. Yeah, stylistic art direction will always age better than real better graphics. Yeah. People would be more forgiving.
Look at Zelda.
Period. Exactly. People would be more forgiving and enjoy the amazing art over judging if the trunk of this tree looks like an actual trunk of a tree. Of course, I'm not a programmer. I don't know hardly anything about it, and these people do work really hard ultimately. I think it really boils down to time and management either way. I'll still be coming back impressed by Pokemon designs, impressed by the ideas that they try to incorporate, even though they're not the best at times, and graphics are kind of one of the last things on my mind. Well, that's it for my somewhat rant about the graphics. Now I'm going to go draw some more Pokemon for the Halloween challenge that I've been doing, or struggle my way up the Unite ladder because somebody always leaves your game. EV signing off.
Actually, some of his art's been really good, so we're friends on Facebook. Evie and I. This is back in the days of Puckle before when I would Facebook friend, I would accept friend requests from people from Puckle.
Almost years. Like, I don't remember the last time I logged into Facebook. My mom's like, are you on Facebook? And I'm like, technically, but no.
Yeah. But he actually posted the art and he's actually getting really good. Like, I didn't realize that, like, he drew some of those. They look too professional. I was like, there's no way. But yeah, our second email this week is going to come to us from the Pokemon Ranger Travis. Ahoy, ahoy, Puckle Crew. Also, Travis, I do want to say everybody gets one paragraph breaks. If you hit enter twice on your keyboard, fantastic.
Try it.
But yeah, just please next time. Ahoy, ahoy, Puckle Crew. The Pokemon Ranger Travis here. The topic is what we thought of the Pokemon graphics. Let me start by saying that I've been playing Pokemon since Generation 1. I was 9 years old when Gen 1 came to the United States. The first Pokemon game I played was the red version using my yellow Game Boy Color.
What color was y'all's Game Boy Color?
I had the teal one because that was the right choice.
I think I had the teal or purple. I think I want to say I had the purple.
Those are the two top tier choices, I think. And then followed by like the lime green. Then berry, which is the red one.
Then transparent.
The transparent ones are so cool. The purple transparent, favorite.
Dude, remember 90s when like everything was like semi-transparent so you could see the electronics?
It was so cool. I loved that. The N64 was like the controllers, favorite controller.
Yes. No, they did that with the controllers. They have consoles like that too, like N64 consoles. You can buy shells for like a Nintendo Switch controller as well. That'll do that.
You sure can. I've thought about doing that for the Pro controller.
I bought a used Pro's controller that had like the thumbsticks chewed up so that I could just replace the thumbsticks with new Hall Effect ones. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. Like, I have a lot of stuff that I want to mod here in the near future. I have like a DS that I'm going to put a capture card in. It's going to be a good time. So maybe I'll do that on stream. Maybe I'll stream me like just modding a bunch of consoles, because I do want to, I want to actually take a GameCube. Shamu actually gave me a GameCube he was just holding on to. And I'm going to rip out the disk drive and mod it with a SD card, a mod as well. Yeah. That way you could just, you don't have to worry. The disk drives go on those things so easily. So I just wanted to do it and get around. You also like reduce noise. It's great. It's just a cool mod. All right. Well, sorry, for that. I had no idea what I was doing at first. My stepbrother, who got Blue version, taught me a little bit of how to play. Once I figured out the gameplay mechanics, I was hooked. At the time, the graphics of the game didn't bother me because I had nothing to compare it to. Oh man, Gen 1 sprites were certainly something.
They were sprites!
They certainly represented monsters on the screen that still give me nightmares. That changed once Yellow version came out and the sprites were changed to look more like the Pokemon in the anime and more like the Pokemon in general. Like, the art of the Pokemon and the art and the sprites just never matched up. And were all different colors based on their typing. Each town you entered had its own color too, which was a nice change, making the game more playable instead of the entire game being all in one color. Yeah, that was actually a really cool change to Yellow. Each town was actually the color of its name, which I thought was cool. Did you know they purposely picked the town name colors that way so that you would...
Based on the colors they had available? Yeah,
that makes. No, not even that. No, they chose the names, like Cerulean and Pewter and Cinnabar. They chose all of those because they were more complicated sounding color names, so that when you were a kid, when you grew up, you didn't realize it was a color until you were older.
Oh, I thought it was just to teach you more words.
They literally wanted you to like get older and be and like learn the word Goldenrod or Cerulean and be like, oh, I know that from Pokemon.
Oh, see, I learned to read playing Pokemon is part of it.
So did I. I didn't learn how to read, but I learned like certain vocabulary words for sure.
I knew a couple colors. Like, I knew fuchsia for some reason.
Yeah, I knew a couple, but I didn't know all of them. I did learn when I got like the big, Sublime might remember. I don't know about you, Seth. We're all the same age.
No, we're the same age, more or less.
And they used to have this big chest of Crayola crayons that was like the 128 crayon set or something like that.
Oh, I love. Yeah, that was a good time.
And it had all of the colors of all the Pokemon names in it. That's how I learned all the colors. Okay, but either way, I digress. Each town you entered, blah, blah, blah. It was pretty cool that Pikachu follows you around throughout the whole game, and interacting him was a game changer.
Agree.
The graphics became better in Generation 2, and Gold and Silver versions came out. I saw the difference in graphics of the sprites. They looked better, and the sprites weren't all one color, but had multiple colors, and I thought that was awesome.
Right? It felt so good to play Gold and Silver after Red and Blue.
As somebody who likes to do, so I do perler beads for like the sprite still for fun. It's just like, it's like very relaxing to just like sit and do like that. And you can like put on like a podcast or some music in the background. And it's like easy, low stress. Nobody cares. I learned a lot about like Pokemon sprites throughout the generations. And so like the Gen 1 sprites have like two colors in their palette. And that's why it's like all mono.
All six of them or whatever.
So there's three colors. There's three colors. In a Pokemon's palette in like Yellow version, there's black and white is in every single Pokemon, and then they get one color. And then when you get the Gen 2, what happens is you get two colors on top of black and white. That's the only difference. It's literally like the difference between one color and two colors.
Yeah, this one's a big email.
Another feature I thought was cool is that the Pokemon genders had genders in these games. The towns themselves all had graphics and colors too. When Crystal came out, I was pleasantly shocked when my first battle with a wild Pokemon in the game and Sprite had an animation. That's true. It had an animation, and they got rid of that until, like, Gen 4.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was the coolest thing. It was nice to see a little realism in the game. Then Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire versions hit the market, and of course I got both versions, just like the previous games. I played the games, and instantly noticed the graphics were much better, and the colors within the game were more vibrant. I will say that I was a little disappointed that the sprites animations weren't in these games, but in my mind, the enhanced graphics made up for it. Actually, there was a lot more colors in Gen 3 than black and white and two other colors.
Tons.
They gave you way more. That was actually kind of the point. They wanted to, like, demonstrate the power of the colors.
Yep. That's when Gen 3, like, that's when Pokemon became real to me. I mean, and there were a lot of cool colors. Not a lot of them were warm, so...
I will say I was a little disappointed with... when the animations weren't in the game, but the enhanced graphics made up for it. When I got the Emerald version, I was happy to see the sprites animations return. I didn't play any of the Generation 4 or 5 games. I didn't like the pixelated look of the Pokemon, and I thought at the time I didn't like a lot of the new designs. This was also a time when Pokemon was losing popularity, and it wasn't cool to play them anymore. That is actually true. That is a sentiment I understand, but I did not become victim to. Unfortunately. Well, fortunately for you guys, because that's when I started Puckle. I did get back into Pokemon, playing Pokemon in Generation 6 with Y, and thanks to my leading petty officer supervisor, he was and is a nerd and played Pokemon and helped me get back into it. I was the first at my duty station in Okinawa, Japan, and a new Navy sailor brought in the Nintendo 3DS and got back into Pokemon. It was shocking to see the 3D graphics of the game and the animation of the Pokemon. No longer sprites, but 3D models. I knew from then on I'd be playing every generation of the Pokemon games. With Generation 7, Pokemon Sun, Generation 8, Pokemon Sword, and PLA, Generation 9, Pokemon Scarlet, I saw enhanced graphics, and the models of the Pokemon seem to be better with each generation of the game. Actually, yeah, I would say the models in Generation 9 are pretty good.
They're very good.
We'll make the argument that I think the models in Generation 8 look okay as well. I think they're just two different art styles. Like, they went more and more realistic in Gen 9, which is the difference. But they both look good. It was neat to see the Pokemon in the overworld and Pokemon Sword, even though there was going to a different screen during the battles. I love the seamless Pokemon battles in PLA and the crafting feature. In my opinion, currently Pokemon Scarlet is the best graphically. Performance-wise, I don't agree, but sure. The Pokemon models look great, the animations and seamless battles are cool, and the Pokemon interacting with their environment make them look like actual animals. They even have groups of them throughout the game where the evolved Pokemon are the leader and their uninvolved group of Pokemon. That is cute. They do that.
I do love that.
I am also a huge fan of open world gaming ever since playing Skyrim back in the 2011 to current days. I'm looking forward to what Game Freak and Pokemon will do in Generation 10. I'll stop the email here because it's getting quite long.
That's an understatement.
But that is my take on the Pokemon the graphics of Pokemon. Y'all have a great week and keep up the work you do. Puckle is another reason for my love for Pokemon has been strong and remains that way. Thank you, the Pokemon Ranger Travis. Well, thank you, Travis.
Thank you, Travis.
Very nice.
The auto reply feature in Gmail lets me just click.
Amazing story. Yeah.
Amazing story. I've never seen that one. I've never seen that. Amazing story.
Oh, that is amazing. You know what? Amazing story alone is worth the Green Tauros match.
Agreed.
Gmail's auto reply. I like that. It's just like, hey, I wrote like a 500 word essay to you guys, and then we just click amazing story.
Thumbs ups it.
Yeah, only the reaction to the message, right?
Like, yeah,
yeah. Now, thank you for sending those in. Next week, if you would let us know what your top five and bottom five steel types are, my body is ready.
All y'all Golden Go people, let it be known. Go ahead. You know, it was just the co-host you get. That's sometimes what it comes down to.
I tried, y'all. I'm sorry.
Hey, no, it came down to you proposing it with me and Sublime.
I was so busy articulating my argument against Lucario that I couldn't shore up the argument for Golden Go. I'm sorry, I failed you.
We have a steel ghost type on the list anyway.
Yeah, like, it would take a lot of convincing to get me Golden Go. Yeah, the superior steel ghost type, I think.
True. Certainly from a design perspective.
Yes, for sure. It doesn't look like string cheese. But yeah, Travis, you get the Green Tauros badge. Just go to the Discord server and you can get it. But yeah, next week, email us at PucklePodcast@gmail.com what your top and bottom five steel types are. If you want to keep up with us throughout the week, you can check us out on our Discord at PuckleDiscord.com. You can, of course, go over to follow us on Twitter, Facebook. What, Twitter? Is it Twitter anymore? I don't know. Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or whatever we're on. And then you can go ahead and you can follow us on YouTube and Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast and youtube.com/pucklepodcast. Streams should return hopefully soon. I really want to. Like, I'm sitting here like, I really want to stream, but then like things keep happening that prevent me from getting in there. Thankfully, my travel is done, so I can. Like, I don't have to be like, oh, next week I'll be gone forever.
Adulting.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just done. I'm so happy. I don't have a trip planned for work until February.
It's over.
Until February.
It's done.
And I'm planning on turning that one also into like a partial vacation. because it's in Las Vegas, baby.
Woo!
But yeah, that'll be a good time. And then of course you can always help out, support the show by either buying cardboard like Seth and myself at trollandtoad.com and using code PucklePod5 at checkout for a 5% discount. Additionally, you can help out this show by going to our Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. You should hear the Patreon hangout we recorded a couple weeks ago. I meant to post it last week, but I was in DC and did not have time to post it. So you'll get a preview of it after this. And it, as soon as you hear it, if it's on this show, it will be on the Patreon for you to listen to. So that's at the $5 tier. There is a change actually coming to Patreon. I'm going to make it for December. There's going to be an update to the Patreon and the tiers. Adding in, theoretically, merch. I just got to figure out how I really want to do merch. Because most of the merch that people ask for, Patreon does not provide, and it's like auto-fulfillment feature.
Gotcha, yep.
People, a lot of people have asked for playmats, so that might be the return of the Puckle playmat. will be upcoming in the TCG, or in the Patreon, at patreon.com/PucklePodcast. So keep a lookout for that if you would like a Puckle playmat, or I'll probably make the patrons vote on what the first merch thing is going to be in our Discord. So if you want to do that, all you got to do is join to the $2 tier. And you'll get it. But yeah, other than that, though, guys, I am going to go ahead. I have been Trainer Thatch.
I continue to be Sublime.
And I am Lord Seth Vilo.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.